Hello, and thanks for joining us today on Lax Library Radio, brought to you in partnership with InLacrosseWeTrust.com and the Lacrosse Radio Network. I'm your host, Ryan Wallace. LaxLibrary.com is your best source for coaching youth high school and college lacrosse, drills, plays, offense, defense, formations, strategies, and more. Check us out online at LaxLibrary.com and on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lax Library. On the show today, we want to talk to you about some of the rule changes for 2015. Lacrosse season is just around the corner. Most of the college teams are already practicing. Youth and high school teams all over the country will be getting started with their preseason conditioning and tryouts soon. How will the new rules affect you as a coach? How will they affect your players and your team? How will you need to run your practices? We want to cover all of that today. Also, in this half hour, we will be joined by a special guest, a good friend of mine who is trying to follow his dream and make it up to Canada to play in the Senior A's up there, playing box lacrosse. He comes from a different background than you might expect. Played his high school lacrosse in Texas, then played his college ball in the MCLA College Club League that covers the whole country now. Did not play in the NCAA, and he's now an indoor and outdoor player in Denver, Colorado, where they have tons of lacrosse going on all the time. So we'll talk to him about his plans, how he thinks he'll do up in Canada playing with those guys, and what he expects to see and do while he's up there. Stick around for that later in the show. Finally, today we'll also spend some time talking about new trends in the game that we see as we travel around the country to different tournaments, camps, and clinics. What are coaches teaching their players now? What do we see coaches and players in different areas having success with? We were all brought up back in the day with coaches teaching us the poke check on defense and the split dodge down the alley. What are kids growing up playing lacrosse now being taught? Let's get right into it. Let's talk about some of the new 2015 rules that are coming down this year. Some of the new rules in the NFHS and U.S. Lacrosse Boys Youth Rules are coming down from the NCAA rules last year. All the rule changes we've seen in the last few years, of course, have been designed to speed up the pace of play, get the ball back into play faster, and create more transition and break situations that we all love to watch. Even the new rule about how many balls the home team has to have on the end line and sidelines is designed to get the ball, any ball, back in play quicker. The sideline substitution horns were taken out last year. This year, the most exciting rule we see coming to youth and high school ball is the quick restart rule. No longer will you have to take the ball outside the box on a restart while the offending team gets the time to set up their ride and match up on defense. Anytime there's a crease violation or loose ball push, illegal offensive screen, your team can pick up the ball and go. Lacrosse is still the fastest game on 2 feet, and this is how you get good run and gun ball like back in the old days. Your goalie can even start the ball inside the crease. The officials are being trained now to get the ball back into play quicker. Well, hopefully the officials in your area are being trained for that. So, for example, if the other team gets a loose ball push or a crease violation, something like that, and your goalie's standing there with the ball ready to go, the officials are going to blow the whistle. If one of your midfielders can play between the whistles and break down field, a quick outlet pass from the goalie, and you've got a 4-on-3 fast break, 5-on-4, 6-on-5. We're trying to get the kids playing fast like the college guys. As a coach, you need to make sure you're bringing this into your practices with your players. In your practice games and drills, for example, if there's a loose ball push, give the ball to somebody, blow the whistle quickly, get your kids responding to quicker whistles, more action, just like they're going to see in games this season. Keep the reps in your drills moving. If you need to talk to a kid, give him a 2-second pointer and get back to work. Otherwise, pull him off to the side and talk to him so the other kids can keep working and get their reps in. Let's talk about playing between the whistles for a minute. We love this rule because it keeps the game moving and keeps the kids busy. So with the quick restart rule, playing between the whistles means using that time to get downfield, to get to space, to turn around for the ball because you might be open. All your players now need to know how to pick up the ball and run. If you're a coach that's been around for a long time and you have several different inbounds or out-of-bounds clears, there's no time anymore now that there's no more substitution horn on the sideline. There's no time to set up a complicated, well-scripted clear. Every kid on your team needs to know how to pick up the ball and run. On defense, playing between the whistles, teach your players to get back in the hole, find a man to guard on defense. There's no time to stand and argue with the ref anymore, no time to have your feelings hurt. The officials are going to blow the whistle right away, and the play is going the other way. So teach your players that the action never stops, and get back, be ready to play defense. This is especially true with box lacrosse, where the ball never goes out of bounds and the play never really stops. If you have kids that are growing up playing box lacrosse and field lacrosse like we do, you know the quick restart rule. Box lacrosse is all about transition breaks and numbers advantage situations. The other rule we want to talk a little bit about today is the illegal body check rule. Now, this isn't a new rule this year. There was a lot of emphasis on it last year. And you'll see it a lot this year, too. This rule is all about safety, so it's hard to be against it. Basically, the illegal body check rule as it stands is almost the same as the defenseless receiver rule in football. You can't hit a guy that doesn't see you coming, period. We know there are a lot of old school coaches out there that love to see a good takeout check, especially in a big high school varsity game. You expect to see those kinds of hits. It can be clean. It can be to the front or side. It doesn't have to be higher in the back for it to be an illegal body check if the other kid doesn't see you coming. Even in a loose ball situation, all the coaches out there that love a good man ball hit, that can also be an illegal body check if the kid doesn't see it coming. And, of course, with the rule clarification from last year, a hit like that is supposed to get you 2 or 3 minute non-releasable penalties. So not just a slap on the wrist. Now, of course, the officials around the country have to consistently call it that way for the punishment to deter the crime. But if you teach your players to go for those kinds of hits, they will come back to haunt you this season. So, from our perspective, if you're one of the old school guys out there, you're probably still teaching your players to lay out the kid with his hands up, catching a hospital pass, and you're still going to teach kids to go for the hit on the man in a loose ball situation. But if you're one of the new school guys, or if you're just getting into coaching lacrosse, then you need to know the consequences of those hits on a defenseless receiver and teach your kids to always go for the ball in a loose ball situation. If you have new players, always teach them to go for the ball. Now, I know that might sound like blasphemy because man ball is a classic, but that's the way the rules are going. Again, if you coach box lacrosse and field lacrosse like we do here at Lax Library, in box lacrosse rules, you can't even play man ball. That's the minor interference rule. Everybody has to be going for the ball in box lacrosse, so you don't see those types of hits very often. Even the big-time college guys that you see on TV, if you watch those guys during a loose ball situation, almost everybody is trying to get the ball because those guys know that the ball scores goals, not the big hit on the man. We hear more and more coaches now teaching their players ball man instead of the classic man ball. Always play the ball. We've got a little bit more on that topic on our website. Just head over to laxlibrary.com and search for ball man. More coaches these days are teaching their players that as a standard. Let's take a quick break now. When we come back, we'll be talking to my good friend, co-coach, and teammate Preston Plume about his plans to play senior A ball in Canada, trying to make his way to the pros one day. Stick around. Welcome back to Lax Library Radio in partnership with InLacrosseWeTrust.com and the Lacrosse Radio Network. Lax Library also brought to you today by Powlax.com. Powlax, the premier producer of customized wax mesh. Customize your consistency today at Powlax.com. Welcome back to Lax Library. Thanks for joining us today. We want to welcome our special guest for this next segment, Preston Plume. He's headed for Canada to try out for some of the box lacrosse teams in British Columbia and Alberta next month. He's hoping that turns into a pathway for a shot at the National Lacrosse League or Major League Lacrosse, the professional indoor-outdoor leagues. So he might very well be the Vince Papale of lacrosse, the guy who's just like the rest of us that just might make it to the pros. Preston, welcome to Lax Library Radio. Thanks for being here. Great to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me, Ryan. It's a real pleasure.
Let me give the people a little bit of your background. Now, you are not what most people would expect as a traditional lacrosse player trying to go pro. You grew up in Texas, played your high school ball there. Then you went into the MCLA, College Club League, instead of the NCAA, and played your college ball in Texas also. Then you moved to Colorado, where you've spent the last 4 years playing lots of competitive indoor and outdoor lacrosse against some very good competition. What's been the best part of that for you?
Really, the best part has just been playing and having a lot of opportunity to get a stick in my hands and go out there and make connections, make friends, network, and just continue to play.
So for coaches out there that might be new to the game or players that are trying to be the best that they can be when they go to the next level, whether that's high school varsity, college, just playing time. Playing time, repetition, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, yeah. I think I can attribute a lot to the years that I've devoted to the game. I'm definitely not the player I was when I first picked up a stick. I've learned a lot of things over the years, and I only learned those things because I just continued to play and continue to learn one game at a time.
That's great. So show up, hang around the fields, maybe you get an extra game, jump on a team that doesn't have enough guys. That's how it used to go back in the day.
Absolutely. And the other thing I'll say is in my 4 years of playing college lacrosse, I never missed a single practice. I showed up to every practice early, and I stayed late all the time, working on that left hand, working on the offhand, working on footwork, and just anything that the coaches were willing to work with me on, coaches and teammates alike. I didn't always wait for the coaches to tell me what to do. I tried to get better on my own as well.
And now that you've gotten plenty of playing time here in Colorado, you think Canadian box lacrosse is your next step. Why is that?
I just really enjoy competition. I want to keep growing my level of competition and ascending to another level. That's basically my goal as an athlete and as a competitor, is to go out and show that I can compete against the best. And I think Canada has the best talent and the best lacrosse in the area.
Now, you've gotten to play for some very talented coaches during your time in Colorado. John Gallant of the Colorado Mammoth, Brian Langtree. You played some semi-pro ball there in Denver. What are a couple things you take from those coaches when you go to that next level?
I owe a lot to the Colorado Sabretooths, John Gallant, and Brian Langtree, and Matt Ogden, the owner. They saw something in me that they could turn into a box lacrosse player. And the big thing that I take from them is both being prepared and letting the game come to you naturally. And what I mean by that is not trying to do too much in any situation, knowing your role within the game. For me, I'm not a big guy. I use speed and use my ability to get to balls as a transition player. And so I don't try to do anything that I'm not comfortable with. I stay within my game.
We've played together a lot on different teams, different tournaments, indoor, outdoor, and my opinion of you as a player is you're very comfortable knowing that, it's your speed that gets you to the ball. You know how to get the ball and get it downfield. You know, for a lot of coaches out there, we're talking a lot about box lacrosse. They don't coach box lacrosse. We're talking about you going to play, pro ball or semi-pro ball in Canada. They're not, they're coaching a youth team. So what are some of the things as an athlete that's hopefully going semi-pro or pro that make your box lacrosse experience apply to a youth outdoor coach?
As a youth outdoor coach, I would say the same thing. Stay within your role. Let kids know what they can do to make the team better. Work on fundamentals and muscle memory and really just getting after the simple things, possessing the ball, working it around, getting everybody to pass and catch. Run, move their feet, clear the ball well. I think that those are the important things that you can take from the indoor game and the outdoor game to a youth level.
I agree. I like all those things too. There's not a whole lot different that the big guys are doing that the little guys don't need to be doing. They just do it faster and better.
Yeah, and the big guys all started somewhere, and most of the time where they started was on fundamental muscle memory repetition. So, as much as you can, I stick by it as a coach. Your job is, an hour or two a day, And then the rest of the time, it has to be the kid wanting to get better. So make it fun for the kids, make it exciting, make it interesting, and make sure that they don't get burned out so that they want to go home and work on the things, hit the wall, work on their left hand or their offhand as much as they can on their own.
You hear that, coaches? Just lots of time with the stick in the hands, lots of repetitions. Keep your practices active. Make sure all your kids are getting plenty of chances to run, scoop, catch, throw. So, Preston, what do you think gives you a shot at playing with some of those Canadian players that go on to play in the NLL? What is it about the way you play, especially as someone like the rest of us that didn't play college lacrosse on TV?
Truthfully, defense is one of the big things that I've focused on. When I first picked up a stick, all the coaches that I had said, well, you can catch and throw, so you're going to be playing offense or attack. But really, I've always been more of a defensive player, and it took me playing box lacrosse to realize that. I can run with people, I can push on people, just stay with them.
Now, you have a lot of box lacrosse knowledge now that you've played on some good teams there in Colorado. What do you think lacrosse will be like up in Canada? What do you expect your games to be like?
A lot more physical. I'm expecting to come home with a lot more bruises. I'm expecting to come home icing my knees and icing my hips a whole lot more after some hardcore bee sting checks and bruised arms. But at the same time, I expect it to be a faster pace that will play into my game and, just a lot more toughness and grit.
So just bigger, stronger athletes doing the same things, winning ground balls, playing good defense against bigger, stronger athletes.
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, the game is the same at every level. It just gets a little bit faster and a little bit quicker and a little bit sharper. So really, I don't expect anything too terribly different. I just expect it to be bigger, faster, stronger.
Well, we wish you the best up there, getting on the learning curve. So how are you getting up to Canada? You know, what's the plan? Is this something that you're doing on your own? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on my own right now. I've once again been blessed with some very good resources. I've made a few connections and will be using those as I go up to British Columbia. I've been invited to a couple of camps and a couple of tryouts. You know, I have a connection out here, Terry Ellis from the University of Denver. We'll be going up there as well. We're both going to be trying out for the Burnaby Lakers when we get up to Canada in early March. So hopefully all those things go well and we can stay together and kind of back each other up and support each other.
Are you going to be doing the Jeremy Lin thing, sleeping on couches, washing dishes? What do you got planned for that?
As much as I can, yeah. It's just the goal is to make it however I can. You know, I want to play lacrosse, and everything else that helps me do that is wonderful, is secondary. So if I need to wash dishes, if I need to scrub cars or camp out or sleep on couches, absolutely, that's the game plan. Of course, it's wonderful if anybody wants to support me. I do have a GoFundMe link, if I can plug myself, gofundme.com/laxincanada. Anything would be greatly appreciated.
Great. Preston, thanks for being here. Once again, that's gofundme.com/laxincanada if you want to help Preston with his journey, hopefully to the pros. We'll be checking back in with him later this spring once he's on his way. We want to continue that discussion and talk about some of the new trends that we see in lacrosse today, things that coaches all over the country are teaching their players. Can you stick around and join us for that and talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, it'd be my honor.
Great. Well, this is Lax Library Radio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. It's getting near dawn. Welcome back to Lax Library Radio, brought to you today in partnership with InLacrosseWeTrust.com and the Lacrosse Radio Network. Also brought to you in partnership with Powlax, the premier producer of customized wax mesh. Customize your consistency today at Powlax.com. I'm still joined by my special guest, Mr. Preston Plume of Denver, Colorado. He's on his way up to Canada to try making it onto one of the Senior A box lacrosse teams up there. He played his high school ball in Texas and played his college ball in the MCLA. so not a player you've seen on TV in the NCAA. Preston, thanks for sticking around to talk with us a little bit more. We want to switch now to talk about some of the new trends in the game we see coaches teaching their players and what different teams in different places are having success with. Do you want to start us off with anything that you definitely know is different now that you've played some more higher level, more competitive indoor and outdoor lacrosse, something that's different from what you were taught as a high school or youth player in Texas?
Well, when I was growing up in Texas, we were basically taking anybody that we could find, any adult, any mentor, anybody that would be willing to spend their afternoons with us. And a lot of the times they didn't have a lot of actual game experience in lacrosse. So what we ended up getting a lot of was, just run around out there. Get the ball and run around out there. What I'm seeing a lot more of right now, actually, is coaches that are taking the time to dedicate and work on consistent plays, which is great. But the best thing I think you can be doing as a youth lacrosse coach is working on clearing and defense, truthfully. Now, maybe that's just my style of play in my game. But I think that if you control the ball while you're clearing, get it on offense, and if you can slow the pace of the game while on defense, you're going to have a lot more success in game situations.
So you're saying that for any new or beginning coaches out there that are coaching a youth outdoor team, even as a primarily indoor player now, your suggestion is to spend a lot of time playing defense and clearing the ball. Once you get the ball, you've got to get it out of your defensive end. You've got to get it past the riding attack before you can even talk about playing 6-on-6 at the other end of the field. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. That's definitely what I'm saying. I think you see a lot of youth teams out there that maybe don't quite have the stick skills that are developed yet. There are a lot of new kids out there, and they get exposed very quickly on offense when the ball comes towards them and they can't catch it, and then all of a sudden it's a transition the other way, fast break goal. Instead, if you're focusing on clearing the ball and playing settled 6-on-6 defense or unsettled, 5-on-6, stopping the fast break, I think those are the things that coaches need to be focusing on first rather than possessing the ball until the stick skills get developed.
Let's talk a little bit about stick skills also. As an indoor player, this is what we mostly see. Now, I'm gonna speak for some of us here at Lax Library. We talk a lot about indoor lacrosse. We talk a lot about box lacrosse. We've interviewed you because you're going up to Canada to play semi-pro or professional box lacrosse. And most of us out there, most of the listeners here are probably field lacrosse coaches. So why do we talk about box lacrosse so much? Well, for me, personally, as a coach, trying to get those stick skills built up that you're talking about, you can do line drills until your players are brain dead, or you can put them in game situations, which is what box lacrosse is just simply better for. The ball never goes out of bounds. The action never stops. Your players get more time on the floor, more repetitions, more touches. And most importantly, we talk about box lacrosse maybe almost more than field lacrosse because the games never get canceled. There's no weather cancellations. The games are indoor, that you can have them all the time. We've got kids in Colorado that are playing box lacrosse during the summer simply because it's so much more reliable. You don't have these situations where a bad pass goes out of bounds, the kid has to go get it, the action stops, everybody stands around, and when you come back in, you restart the play with a settled 6-on-6 situation one way or the other. So in box lacrosse, every time there's a bad pass or a shot rebound, you have a ground ball in an unsettled situation. For those of you that are not box lacrosse fans or are not box lacrosse fans yet, this is at the very least why we think here at Lax Library these Canadian players are coming down and having so much more success in the NCAA, in the pro level, in the world championships, because those games are never canceled. The ball never goes out of bounds. It's simply a matter of repetition.
Yeah, and it's also about, the ball finds you a lot more. I'll say that. In outdoor, you can kind of hide away. You can, bury one of your weaker players on the crease. You can put them on defense only, or put them as a goalie even. But in indoor, the ball is always going to find you. If the ball sails over a player's head, it's going to roll to somebody, and that's an opportunity to ground ball, cradle, run, and then settle. So I think that's a big part as well. And there are only five players on the field at any given time, or 10 total.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, 5-on-5, 10 total is a lot less complicated than 20 total. 5-on-5 is less complicated than 6-on-6. Basketball, hockey, all 5-on-5. So you're probably right there. I want to go back to talking about defense. You're a great defender. Talk a little bit about defense. What kind of trends do you see more coaches teaching on defense?
Well, I know Lax Libraries talked about it quite a bit as well, but really, you know, the poke check is kind of becoming a thing of the past. You know, the poke check gets kids lunging a whole lot more than they need to be. Things that I've found success with personally as an on-ball defender are running with, staying in an athletic position, moving my feet, and giving a little push instead. You know, I'm not trying to crush a guy. I'm not trying to, you know, put him on the ground and bury him.
You're not trying to take the ball away.
No, I'm trying to make sure that he doesn't score and that he doesn't have any good looks. My stick will be on his hands, and if he goes up to pass or shoot, it's going to be right there, and I'll continue lifting. But I'm not compromising my position. I'm running with him. I'm not giving away my footing or my positioning at any given time.
Yeah, and for somebody that's going to throw takeaway checks, you know, you have to move your feet long enough to stay close enough to the guy to throw those checks for those to even be effective. I mean, as a coach or as a player who's played for some very good coaches, like we talked about earlier, John Gallant, Brian Langtree, you've played for some guys that have played at a very high level, you know, they're probably not talking about stick checks at all, ever. And so, you know, when you might have grown up in Texas, I grew up in Kansas, you know, 10, 20 years ago. Why are we teaching checks on the first day? For you, you've had a lot of success based on your athleticism. Makes your defense pretty good, I imagine.
Yeah, the stick comes second, right? You can't play defense with a stick alone. In fact, you're actually probably going to draw more penalties that way, and that makes a coach's job much harder. You can prepare your kids by, you know, taking the stick out of their hands. We've seen those drills before, or not giving them a stick, giving them, you know, little nubs. Anything that you can to make sure that the stick is secondary to positioning, athleticism, and just know-all.
Yeah, a little bit of lacrosse IQ goes a long way. Make it simple for your players. Make sure they understand that they can play really good defense simply by staying in between their man and their goal. And at least from what I've seen of you, a lot of kids out there now having a lot of success playing that more physical body indoor style defense where all you're trying to do is push the guy away from the goal. Stay in between him and push him away. I'd like to mention here that defense starts with the feet first. You do a great job of moving your feet to stay with your man. You've got a good solid base that you can push from. And then, you know, of course, yeah, like you said, stick checks are last. Feet, hips, hands, stick is last. let's switch gears here. Some other new trends we see around the country. Coaches starting to teach their players. You've got a lot of kids that are either hopefully playing other sports. Maybe you've got some kids that have played some basketball. We run a lot of pick and roll out here in Colorado. You run a lot of pick and roll. Talk a little bit about the two-man game for any of the coaches out there that aren't so used to it or also haven't started teaching it yet. What can you tell us from what you've heard from your coaches about the two-man game?
Yeah, the two-man game is a simple and effective offensive tactic. It gives the guys space to work by clearing out a lot of the other players. So you have a two-man game working either at the goal line extended or behind or on the wing as well. And, yeah, it gives them space to operate while clearing the rest of the defense out. It's effective. It's proven. It works. Just look at the World Games, look at Canada, and look at what Bill Tierney's been doing out here with DU.
That's a good point, Bill Tierney at DU. Co-coach is Matt Brown, reigning world champion coach for Canada. The two-man game is here to stay. Well, Preston, thanks for joining us. That's all for us today here on Lax Library Radio. We hope you join us next week. We'll be filtering our broadcast in with all the broadcasts coming out of the U.S. Lacrosse National Convention. Join us for that. If you have anything you'd like to hear us talk about or any questions you'd like to have answered, leave us a little note on our website or at facebook.com. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at Lax Library. You can reach out to us there. We'd love to hear your questions. We'd love to hear your comments. Join the network of coaches that are reading in the Lax Library, trying to prepare their players for the modern game. Youth, high school, and college lacrosse drills, plays, formations, strategies, and more. Thanks for joining us today. Have good games this weekend. Wish all the teams and coaches out there good luck.